Welcome to the world today. My name is Frank Weltner. I am the librarian for JewWatch, the largest compendium of information about Jewish organizations and news on the internet today. In addition, I am the librarian and archivist for a new website, www.americanussr.com, which is already the largest compendium of history concerning the negative aspects of the United States of America, which the CIA, FBI, the presidency, the Congress, and all other agencies of the United States want you to know nothing about. My name is Frank Weltner. I'd like to welcome you to the world today. Today is January the 14th, 2011. I'd like to begin today by speaking on the subject of mythologies in American thought. One of the great mythologies that I hear constantly, it's almost a mantra, it's a harangue that says that Americans love to work, that it's good to work. It's good to work, it's good to pay taxes, people should go to school, they shouldn't stay at home, they shouldn't watch television, they shouldn't listen to the radio, they shouldn't go out and play ball with their friends, they should study, they should apply themselves more, they should learn mathematics, they should learn history, they should read about the history of the United States and about the Constitution. They should devote their lives to some sort of otherworldly pursuit than that which most Americans pursue. Which, of course, means that the myth itself is a lie. It's a mantra that people are supposed to repeat again and again and again. But when we look at what Americans really do, we find that they don't believe the mantra. Let's take a look at most Americans who come home from a hard day's work. Now, according to the mantra, they should immediately open a book or a newspaper and do some studying about different developments in the day, such as scientific developments, financial developments, historical developments, crime, whatever. They should be interested in reading these things and if they want to have a really good life. So how many of you have seen people in your family come home and immediately grab the newspaper or magazine and start reading? I doubt if very many of you find that. In fact, I doubt if very many of you do that. You may get on the computer and look up news on the computer, which is somewhat the same thing. But mostly, you probably use the computer for little social triangles, such as friends on Facebook whom you may not even have ever met. I would imagine that many of you, as soon as you come home, immediately either head for the refrigerator and then sit down in front of a TV, or you sit down in front of the TV and wait to head for the refrigerator. In any case, you don't read a book, you don't start studying, unless you're computer addicted, and then you might, or if you go to the TV set, you might be addicted to news, you might watch it, because news really isn't news today. I don't know if you've noticed, but news is a form of entertainment. News is something that entertains you. You have these stars of news, such as your anchors, who you see every evening in your home when you get used to listening to them. And they become kind of like a grand old family member to you. You like to hear them talk. It makes you feel comfortable. It makes you feel like the world is secure. Here's someone that you know about. You may be divorced. You may not have any family members who even talk to you. But the commentator will talk to you every single evening. And he could be a dog. He could be a dog like O'Reilly. You know, or he could be someone like Oprah Winfrey, who's kind of like a little tanned grandmother, who's very pleasant and speaks to you in certain tones which make you realize that she's being honest with you. At least you think she is. Probably, though, most of you don't watch the news much. You probably come home and start watching regular programming such as fictional accounts of criminality in cities, and you have police detectives who have a weekly show again and again and again, such as CSI Miami or one of those other shows. The Defenders comes to mind, and many of these shows, like Detroit 187, you become interested in the stars who play a fictional police role, and you listen to them and you watch them and you learn about their families and how they got divorced and how their kids are suddenly hooked on drugs, which is a little wrinkle in their story that you have to cope with, and you use their family as a substitute for your own family, and you like that, and it allows you to sit and eat chips with dip as you watch it until you finally get to the point where, well, it's time for news to come on again, so I guess I'll just go to sleep because I have to get up in the morning and work. What I'm trying to say is that what people tell you that you should do, which is to better yourself by watching the news, is something that you probably don't do at all. And if you watch the news, it probably doesn't better you one bit. What good does it do you to know that this Jared Loeffner, who tried to murder this congresswoman in Tucson, that he wounded her, and they talk about her condition, and then they talk about the funeral of the little 9-year-old girl and all the tragedy associated with it, which becomes a kind of extension of your own life, even though you live thousands of miles from Tucson, and normally it would have nothing to do to you, but it is given to you as a presentation to enhance your life, to give you another experience that you wouldn't have if it wasn't for television, and if it wasn't for your favorite commentator standing there with a microphone in their hand telling you exactly what happened and why you are interested in it. And of course, you being a rather suggestible sort, go along with the ruse and determine that you are interested in it, and then you talk to your friends at work and elsewhere about how terrible it is that this person came out and shot at these people, and how you hope that it's not going to have the Congress taking your guns away and this and that, if indeed that's what you like. And do you have things that you can discuss after watching this in common? This is one of the things that the entertainment industry uses to keep people solidified. Try to give them a common reference in the news as to what's going on so that they have something to discuss that makes them think that they have something in common when in fact they don't. Except that they went home, there's only so many channels, they tuned to the news channel, all of them were covering this hour after hour after hour, so they got a kind of dose of it. But that's enough to make you get a sense of false solidarity with your neighbors or with your fellow co-workers, all of whom wanted to give you their opinion on what they saw concerning this dastardly deed. But if they gave you information about what you saw that was different than your own information in terms of what their interpretation was, for instance, if you think that guns should be taken away from people and your co-worker thinks that, no, actually everybody should have more guns and everybody should carry, and that way when someone like this does this, everybody will start shooting at him and only one person will be dead, and that'll be the killer, except for his first victim. Well, if you don't want to hear that, if you don't want to hear that the guns would have kept these people from being killed by that man's gun, well, then you're not going to like that. You might write the person off. It might be a source of tension and argumentation for you. And vice versa, if you're on the other side and someone mentions their side and you have to sit and listen to it in order to be polite. But at any rate, you didn't really go home to watch stuff like this. You were a little interested because people were talking, so you watched it a little bit. But you certainly didn't go down to the library and do any study on serial killers, did you? I mean, you're not really that much of a scholar. Although you've read that you should be a scholar and that you should improve yourself and your mind, you haven't really done that much, have you? You're more or less kind of a lazy guy when it comes to improving your mind, if you're like most Americans. They sit and listen to the propaganda that what you should do as a member of this democracy is to improve yourself, and that you should really extend yourself at school and at work in order to show people the quality of things that you can do. But as a matter of fact, when you go to work, you're probably bored with your work because the statistics have shown that 95% of Americans pretty much hate their jobs. So you shouldn't be any different than the majority. You probably hate yours as well. But you've been told that it's good to have a job, that Americans want to work. They want to be productive. They want to do this. They want to do that. And so you go to work and you don't complain as much as you normally would because you think in the back of your mind that if you did complain, well, then you wouldn't be a very good American, would you? Because good Americans aren't shirkers. Good Americans are people who go to work and bite the bullet and do whatever the boss says. And you become a person with a good attitude and a smile, and you work and you work and you work until finally it's time to go home. You make sure you're the last one out of the office so that you won't be criticized. And then as soon as you go home to further improve yourself, as soon as you hit the door, you sit down on the couch, turn on the TV, and have a little drink. And that's the end of your evening. You watch the TV until it's time to go to bed, and then you turn it off. You go to sleep, and you get up in the morning, take a shower, and do it all over again. Because by the time you get out of work, you've used up your energy, your mind, everything about you, heart and soul, has been consumed by your 8 hours of work, and by talking to people that you probably don't even like. Probably there are just many, many people that you meet in the world that you don't like one bit, but you have to pretend that you do, because to be a good American, you're supposed to get along with everybody. And so you pretend that you like them. Well, we all know that doesn't work out too well. So then many of us end up with pills like Prozac or whatever. And then we read books on why Prozac causes a lot of suicide and this and that. And as a matter of fact, most Americans have contemplated suicide during most of their lives because they don't like their jobs. They don't want to study when they get at home. They don't want to do anything that they're told they should do as an American. Study, improve your mind, do this and that. Because by the time work's over with, you don't really have any energy left to study anything. You just want to be entertained by some nice-looking commentator or by some very well-dressed police detective in Detroit or in Miami Beach or in Atlanta or in New York. Something you can put your teeth into that's easy to take, that's relaxing, that shows a lot of chase scenes, a lot of fights, a lot of tension between the police and the persons of interest who might be a perpetrator and might not. You just need to use that in order to wind down because your life is really quite miserable, isn't it? Yeah, let's stop the myth. Your life is miserable because you work all the time. And of course, that's the trouble with America, is that you work all the time. I grew up in a farm family. We worked all the time, but we weren't really miserable in the way we're miserable today. Because when we worked, we had our own farm, and we worked that farm, and we made a living out of it, which wasn't much. And then we got lured into the city because it was a lot easier. The work wasn't nearly as hard even in a factory. I mean, even carrying tires over your head was a lot easier than putting hay up in a barn and jumping out of the way when a horse or a bull would try to get you with their back hoof. I mean, you know, there were a lot of dangers on a farm that you don't have in the city, and working in a factory just seemed like something easy. It was almost like going home after work and watching TV for the rest of the evening. After working on a farm, working in a factory was like watching TV. It was almost like you weren't doing anything because it was made so easy for you by comparison. And so you spent your time working in factories or in office buildings or in sales. You come home, you're tired, your wife, who also has to work in order to pay your house off, because everybody in the city wants to have a house, so they bid the prices of them up to the point where in order to have one, you have to make yourself miserable. So you come home, you're tired, back to the TV, back to your self-hatred, because Something's wrong with you. You don't want to study and improve yourself. You just want to drink some beers and go to sleep so that you can go to work the next day without falling asleep at your desk. So that you can present that false image of liveliness to your boss. So that he'll think that you really enjoy being there. When in fact your boss is nothing but a jerk who makes your life miserable, who makes you do this and then makes you do that, who hires people and puts them over you who make you miserable, people with really bad attitudes and who don't know how to work with other people. But if you don't work with them, you lose your house because you lose your salary, you lose your job, you're out in the street. So you're nothing but a slave, really, aren't you? You're nothing but a slave. Of course, that's what you are. You're a slave. Most of you Americans are slaves. I wish I could do something for you. I wish I could make it so that you don't have to work. Well, I could do something to make it so you don't have to work, as a matter of fact. I could help you with that. I didn't work very much my life when I was of working age. I didn't work that much. One thing I did was I got a job as a teacher, so I didn't have to work in the summer. In the summers, I'd drive out to Denver and up to Boulder and up further north than that, where the Rocky Mountain State National Park started, in Estes Park, and I would go mountain climbing with some dry goods, you know, like some flour and some sugar and maybe, you know, with matches and stuff, so I could go way in and shoot squirrels and rabbits and eat them and just stay up there, climbing mountains, looking at the Rockies and looking at the wolves down in the valleys from up above, looking at cougars now and then, many of whom would look at us as kind of a food source, but, you know, we'd try to get them out of the way so they wouldn't hassle us. We'd rather eat a little rat that would get up in a tree and shoot him down with a pistol and skin him and cook him and eat that and make sure that the cougar didn't come up trying to steal it away from us or try to jump us. So we didn't work all the time. Let's see, a school teacher, I think we had 16 weeks one semester, 16 weeks the second semester. That gives you a total of 32 weeks, which means out of 52 weeks in the year, you have 20 off. So that's one way of not having to work all the time. I spent a lot of my life camping out, and I had really enjoyed it. You can plan your life that way, you know. You can also find yourself a sales job where you can make a lot of money on commission if you're good at it. And you could sell and sell and sell for several months and then resign and live off of the earnings of 10, 20, 30,000 that you earned in 2 or 3 months or 1 or 2 months. And watch what you spend. Don't spend too much. Maybe room with somebody that you find interesting, like your girlfriend or whatever. And cook at home. Don't drive around very much. Don't run around buying stuff. And you don't have to work. You just stay in your apartment. You could have your apartment could be in Miami Beach, looking at the ocean. It could be anywhere that you like. You don't have to make your life so that you have to work all the time. If you overbuy your house, you'll have to work all the time. One of the easy ways not to work is to buy yourself a used house trailer. Pull it to a vacant lot out in the country. Dig your own well. Put in your own wiring. You could even put in off-the-grid solar panels for your electricity and watch what you use so that you could stay out there and burn wood for heat. And you could cover the trailer in the summer with a tarp so that the sun doesn't hit directly upon it, but hits the tarp above it and it stays cooler, almost like it's in the woods all the time. You know, or you could actually drive north during the summer and live in the woods up in Minnesota in another small trailer. And then the summer you move back down to Mississippi or to Missouri or someplace in the winter, and you know, that way you avoid the cold up in Minnesota. You don't need much electricity that way. I mean, you can do these things. Why would you want to work and destroy your life anyway? As long as you can put in 4 quarters a year, you just work one day and make $80, $100, just enough so that you can register that with Social Security, so that you have at least your minimum 40 quarters by the time you reach 62 or 70 or 500 years of age, whatever it is by the time you retire. You can get a small stipend and you can live on that as long as you don't buy anything. I live my life that way. And I have a lot of friends that I meet who have lived their lives the same way. Most of them seem to have either grown up in the streets or grown up on a farm. Or they had a weird father who didn't like to work, and so he enforced a family situation where no one bought anything. And I concur with that as a very good thing to teach kids. I mean, the only reason that people work is that they need to buy things. And if you curb your need to buy things, guess what? You're home free. You don't have to work. And the darndest thing about it is if you don't work, you don't pay any taxes. And if you don't pay any taxes, there's no money for the military. There's no money for anything that the government wants to do, which means the government backs off because no one's earning anything, so they can't really tax people. And if they can't tax people, they can't do a bunch of things that are against the Constitution. And so you have a much better government because the wars end because there's no money for them. The military is dispersed the way the Founding Fathers wanted it to happen. They made it actually legal in the Constitution for there to be a standing military in times of peace, which we take for granted now. But if the Americans were just to say, hey, we're not going to do this slavery work anymore. We're not going to buy big houses that are too big. We're not going to live in cities. We're going to work for a few years, buy a trailer, get an acre or two out in the country next to a state forest where we can go and get our wood for free for burning in the winter, keep ourselves warm. We're going to learn how to garden. We're going to get food stamps. We're going to do whatever we have to do in order to just barely survive. And the government would start to dry up. All those problems that you read about and see, you know, in the newspapers and on TV, those problems would end because the whole reality would be changed. The country would be back to where it was when people first came to America. They didn't come here to work. Do you think people came here across the oceans to work? Would you leave England or France or Germany to come to America to be a slave to some jerk in an office? I mean, would you say, oh, I'm going to leave my little farm outside of Paris and I'm going to get on a boat and I'm going to go all the way across the ice-cold ocean to New York and then someone's going to kick me in the ass the rest of my life because I have to pay for my apartment or I'll be out in the cold. So I'll work like a slave at something below minimum wage, poverty level, when in fact I could stay at my farm in France and eat onions and sweet potatoes and have a better diet than I'd have when I went to New York and had to work. I could sit on my butt outside of Paris and do nothing. Do you think they really came here in order to work and be slaves the way you are? Do you think you were born to be a slave? You probably do. And the reason you do is that you were forced to go to school and to complete assignments for your teacher without questioning why you had to do it. And of course, if you didn't complete the assignments on time, they brought your mom and dad in and embarrassed them about what a terrible job they did of raising their son or daughter, being you, of course. And since you don't apply yourself, you're a loser and that your parents are losers and that something's going to have to be done about this. You know, I've seen it all. I used to be a teacher, so I know what goes on in schools. And I know the propaganda that we used to be enforced, we were forced to give to these kids. they had us all convinced that even, you know, the ones that were teaching and chose teaching so we at least have some vacation time, that what we're doing was helping the kids. We were working for a better America. But as a matter of fact, America never got better. Let's see, when I was born, it was like 7 or 8 days after Pearl Harbor. We had World War II to go through. And everybody hated the Emperor of Japan and Adolf Hitler. And we loved Joseph Stalin. So then the war was over, and then immediately we had to start hating Joseph Stalin. Because Hitler wasn't there to hate anymore. And Hirohito wasn't there to hate anymore. We had to have somebody to hate. So then we latched on to Mao Zedong to hate, and we had the Kuomintang Island crisis, and China wanted to take over Taiwan, which is kind of funny because now that we're friends with them, they don't want to take over Taiwan. They could care less. And I asked myself, did they really want to take over Taiwan, or was this something that our Judeo-Bolshevik newspapers told us so we'd go along with the fake Cold War that we had? You know, the Cold War was a fake, don't you? There was no way America and Russia were going to get into a fight. We weren't going to get into a fight with China. We did get suckered in a little bit in Korea, but did you notice that China didn't go south in Korea? They told us just to go back to this one place, this one parallel, and we did, and that was the end of the war. That was called a rapprochement. But all the time, the newspapers were jumping up and down talking about the Cold War and how we had to have B-52 bombers in the air constantly, and we had to have more missiles and this and that. They had us going, didn't they? The lies are just everywhere in government. And when a government worker opens his mouth, you know that if his lips are moving, he's lying. He's not going to tell you the truth. The government is there in order to tax you and to exploit you, not to help you. If they tell you that you need to go to school in order to make more money, they're not doing it to help you, they're doing it to help themselves. Because if you make more money, they get to tax you more, and if they tax you more, they can spend more of your money for their elitist Bolshevik friends in New York who run the banks. Someday you're going to get it. Someday you're going to put it all together, and your eyes are going to open. You're going to say, oh, that's what Frank's talking about. I get it now. I get it. Because you see, you never got ahead, did you? There's probably only 1 or 2% of you that ever paid your house off that are listening to me right now. Because you bought a house that was too big, or when you got it paid off, you borrowed money on it because they suckered you in, and now you still owe money on it. So you're still a slave and you have to work or you're out in the cold. Of course, you could just abandon the house or sell it for next to nothing and then get yourself a trailer and just say, I'm just going to pretend like I never owned a house. I'm going to buy myself a trailer for $2,000 or $3,000. I'm going to have it hauled out to my lot that I paid $2,000 or $3,000 for. And I'm going to have me a place for under $10,000 that I'm going to live in and keep my little rear end warm in the winter and cold in the summer at. And I'm not going to worry about status. And I'm not going to worry about going to work. I'm just going to live out there. And since there's no jobs out there, I can go down to the welfare office and say, well, I've applied for jobs, sir, but in this small town I'm in, as you know, there's no jobs here. And I have a wife and kids to feed, and I'd like some food stamps and some money in order to pay my bills. And they fill out the forms, and pretty soon you get the money coming in, which means you don't really have to work. There's millions of peoples out, peoples. There's millions of people. There's millions of peoples, yeah. There's millions of people out in the countryside where there's no jobs, getting supported by the federal government, which wants them to stay out there. They don't want all these people in the city like they used to. There's too many people in the city. There's not enough jobs. So if they can give you $500, $600, $700, $800, $1,000, $2,000, whatever a month, to park your butt out there in a trailer where you can go fishing every day, that's a lot cheaper than putting you in a city and having to build more highways for you at about $2 million a mile. and having to build up prisons and build up a police force that has to be paid. If they're paying you even as much as $2,000 a month, they're making a deal on that. They're making a deal on that because it costs them a lot of money to keep these cities operating. So if you're sitting out there and you may think, well, I'm just a nothing. I'm not doing anything out here. And that's true. You are a nothing. But you're a nothing in the city. I mean, if you're putting together some little stuff like wall board, punching it out at a factory, and there's 20 of you in there and they're punching out the acres of these boards to sell, you're not doing much. You might as well be sitting in a house trailer out in Timbuktu, Arkansas, because you're not doing all that much. It's mostly a machine that's putting it together and flattening it out and cutting it, putting it together so that you can get into a truck and sell it. Your little life of desperation doesn't really need to be lived that way. You can have your life of desperation out in the country, being surrounded by dogs and cats that are your friends, and maybe a cow that you get your milk from, and some chickens. You get your eggs there, and you get the chicken goo under that they walk on, and you put that stuff on your garden, and you make nice tomatoes and this and that, and you have a pretty good life, eating good food. Go out and kill squirrels and rabbits and deer and put venison in your freezer and eat that. That's a good life. A lot of people are living a life like that, and you could do that. You don't have to be in a city buying a house where everybody wants to be so they can get a job and make a lot of money, because, to be quite honest, you're trying to live your life, aren't you? Maybe you're trying to earn money. You're trying to go to a shopping mall so you can buy expensive shoes and expensive clothes. Do you want a brand new expensive car every 2 years? Is that what you want? I mean, if you do, then you need to be in the city. But most Americans don't care that much about that sort of thing. I mean, they'll kind of go along with it. But if you go out to the country and don't get yourself a city newspaper where every Sunday they give you all these ads, say, if you go to Target, you can buy this TV for this, you can buy this thing for that, and you get yourself all lust-filled for these materialist products they have on their shelves. You go out there and you spend $100-$200 every week, which is a fifth of your spendable money that you make when you're working. If you didn't even do that, if you didn't even get the newspaper, you just sat out in the country and had yourself a computer on your telephone line, kind of slow, and then maybe get yourself a broadband if it becomes available. And then you can watch movies for free just by subscribing to Netflix or to Blockbuster, and you could just stream them down to your TV whenever you want. And you could live like a big fancy pig out there watching movies, eating your own tomatoes, and having a good time. You don't have to be driving in a crowded street in different neighborhoods that you don't like. You could sit out by a country stream with your fish pole out there, and every once in a while you pull in a fish, and you just kind of scrape the scales off of it, throw it into the frying pan and eat it, and you're healthier than anybody in the city because you're eating fresh fish. You're eating fresh potatoes that you planted yourself, that you plant over and over again year by year, and you have a good life. You don't have to work all the time. I know you think that you're trapped, but if you could unhook yourself, if you could have the discipline to just sell your house, take whatever you can get for it, and move, especially if you can get just enough to buy yourself a little piece of land with some farming equipment. You don't need a lot of, all you need is a tiller. When you're only trying to feed your family, you don't need but a backyard full of land really to do that. I've always plowed my backyards in the city and raised more than enough food to keep myself pretty much fed for the year. I've raised corn, I've raised peanuts, I mean, you name it, tomatoes, lettuce, radishes, whatever I wanted, pumpkins, squash, you name it. This stuff grows almost for free. Oh, it is for free. All you got to do is water it. You live out in the country and you have a well, you can water whatever you want. You don't need to work, my friends. You just don't need to work. And I'm going to tell you something, there's nothing righteous about working. Especially if you're working for, you know, a company that just produces like gold rings that people wear. Because they're bored and they got to have something to make themselves look fancy in order to feel good about themselves. Yeah, you're building stuff that people don't really need, in other words. But they go to a store like Target and they see all these rings and they got to buy one every week. Because they're sick. They're sick in their heart. They're sick in their heads. And they don't know what they're doing. And besides, when they went to school, they learned that you have to work and the consumers buy things and that it's fun to be middle class. Whereas, as a matter of fact, when you were going to high school, you probably wanted to stay at home and watch The Price is Right. You didn't really want to buy the product. You just wanted to maybe watch somebody else get it for free on The Price is Right. And you could do that today. You could go out to the country, get yourself something that costs less than $10,000 and live in it the rest of your life and make do. And you could have that feeling that you wanted to have, that you were free in high school. You didn't have to go to high school. You didn't have to go to work, whatever. You could stay at home on the couch and watch TV. And I know you're going to say, you know, see, you're already propagandized not to want to watch TV. Now, these boogers have told you that watching TV is wrong. Well, if it's so wrong, then how come you're working all day long, 8 hours a day, sometimes 12 hours a day, and the first thing you do when you get home is you grab your beer or your soda or your chips, and you sit on the couch and you turn the TV on with the remote, and you sit there like a hypnotized toad watching it, just as happy as hell to be there. If it's so wrong to want to watch TV, then how come you want to watch it? Do you consider yourself to be a really sick person in your mind? That you want to do sick things like watch TV? I've got news for you. Everybody wants to watch TV. Most people worldwide, whether they're an innocent African out on the veld in Namibia, and they've never seen a TV, once they see one, they want to put it in their tent or their hut and watch it and never leave. They want the cow to come up and put the udder in the window so that you can just milk it into a glass and drink a little bit of milk so you can continue watching your television. Have you ever looked at the travel channels and the educational TV channels like PBS and all that? And you look at these people who are out on the prairie in Mongolia. Hold on, please. I apologize for that. I had to use the cough button. I'm starting to lose my voice because I've been talking for 38 minutes here or so, and my voice was just starting to give way. But we'll continue here because I'm on a roll here. I'm telling you the truth. You don't have to work. I'm giving you all sorts of things that you can do instead of working. You can buy yourself a home that's under $10,000 if you get a house trailer. And you can put a wood stove in there to keep yourself warm. And then you could buy another house trailer up in a northern area and one in a southern area, so you could just go back and forth in the winter and summer and not have to worry so much about that. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do to make your life a lot easier. You could build yourself an underground home. There's a place at New Bloomfield, there's an experimental renewable resource place out there, and they have a home that they built under the ground, which stays at about 58 degrees all year long, winter and summer, and they put a sun tube down the middle of it. And you could sit in there and not even have to heat it. You know, just wear a couple of pair of sweat clothes winter and summer in there, because it gets a little chilly in there. And since it's underground, you don't have to compete with what the temperature in the air is. No matter what the season, you're okay down there, because you basically have yourself kind of like a big beehive to live in, with about 5 or 6 feet of earth around it. And you're just as cozy as a pig on a holiday. And you put yourself a couple of solar panels out there, paid for, you never have to buy electricity again. You just, you know, watch a TV that only has like, 35 watts. Like, I've got one right here that's a 19-inch TV. It's one of those newfangled ones, you know, that's digital. I can pick up 24 channels here for free where I'm at, and I don't have to pay anything for it. And it's only 35 watts, so if I put up 400 watts worth of solar panels, and my my lights inside my room only take up about, 20 watts for my light, 35 watts for my TV. But let's see, you take 400 watts, you have about 4 or 5 hours where you get 400 watts a day. That's about 2,000 watts. There's 24 hours, and I'm only using about 40 or 50 or 60 watts an hour, so I got an extra 40 watts an hour. I don't have to worry about electricity. I don't have to pay anybody for it. And you can do that. You don't have to go to work every day and let somebody scream at you and treat you like a piece of crap. I know that's what's happening to you, and I feel sorry for you. You're being treated like a piece of crap at work if you're like most people. If you're lucky and you got a nice place to work, that wouldn't happen to you. Even at school, which was a professional thing, I mean, they treated us all like crap. I mean, there's been books written about principals and how they treat the teachers like children. Yeah, they do. The principals treat the teachers like their children. They feel like they have a right to do that, that they can talk to you just like you're a little baby. And that you'll put up with it, which you will, because what are you going to do? If you get fired, then you got to find another teaching job. You don't feel secure. If you just put up with the muck, since you're in your classroom most of the time anyway, you can hide from the principal at a school and never have to see him again, except on certain days when he's going to have a meeting and you have to go there, but you can sit way in the back and keep quiet. You don't have to mess with him. Just have to do your job. That's all you have to do. But like I say, you could get yourself a job for a couple of years with your wife and buy yourself a piece of property, put your little trailer out there, and then sell your house and just retire out there. You don't have to work all your life. You can be retired. You can be retired at age 25. How many guys and girls do you know in a city who are retired? And they just kind of live on the street. I mean, they have a place to live. Like, they might live in their mom's basement, but basically they're retired. They've figured out how to do things so they don't have to work. You know, or some woman, she decides she's going to make love to some guy, and the payoff is that she's going to keep the house somewhat clean, and she's going to cook and buy food, and he's going to pay for all of it because he wants to have sex and he wants to use her like his little pleasure doll, so he pays her to live there. So she doesn't really have to work. She's figured it out. And there's some women that just need a man, and they'll pay a man to stay at home and be the person that does the cooking and this and that. In fact, out in the country where I grew up, there's women who will go to a shoe factory and work all day long. And sometimes their husband won't even come and pick them up when it's time to go home, so they ride home with one of their friends because their husband's either out shacking up with some other woman in town or in the next town, or he's out with his buddies fishing or drinking at a bar. And but she wants him because there's very few men in a town that she could have sex with, so she knows that, well, when he comes home, every once in a while he might hug me and make love to me. So those men, they're retired. They're doing all right. A lot of them live in trailers. A lot of them live in houses, but a lot live in trailers. But a house out in the country doesn't cost nearly as much as a house in the city because you can't make any money in the country. And if you can't make any money there, then you can't ask much for a house because the people don't have the money to pay for it. So everybody just does pretty well. You know, another thing you can do is just to... if you can get food stamps, you can just make sure that you make do on that. Buy cheap cuts of meat, like the cheapest cut of meat in the world is chicken and turkey. I've got 5 turkeys in my freezer right now. I bought those turkeys for 42 cents a pound right after Christmas. Before Christmas, I bought one for 52 cents a pound. It was just a wonderful turkey. And then Walmart was selling those suckers for 42 cents a pound, 10 cents off after Christmas, and I thought about it, and I went back in there, and I bought five of them, put them in my little freezer. And right now, I got one of them thawing in my refrigerator. It ought to be thawed enough tomorrow that I can cook it. Takes about a day to cook it. And then I'll immediately debone it, put the meat in different Ziploc bags, put them in the freezer. And I'll eat on that for about a month. I'll eat turkey about once every day or twice every day, whatever. And that turkey only cost me $7.50, I think it was. Maybe it was $8.50. No, I think it was $7.50 for an entire turkey, 18 pounds worth of meat. You don't have to have a lot of money to live. You can go out in the national forests, and they'll have trees tagged where you can cut the wood off of it and put it into your wood stove in your house or your trailer and heat yourself with that for free. You don't have to pay for that stuff. What do you want to pay for? Why do you want to work your rear end off? Do you really want to take a cruise on the Caribbean and stand like a fat pig in front of a smorgasbord with a bunch of other fat people eating all sorts of fatty meats which will kill you early once or twice a year? Is that your idea of fun, to do that for 3 or 4 days? And you can't get off the ship once you start, you're screwed. Like, if you change your mind, you get on a cruise, and all of a sudden you say, I don't like this, I want to get off. But you're out in the ocean, you can't get off. They could fly off with a helicopter if you want to pay thousands of dollars. You could have that arranged. So you don't need to do that. Who needs a vacation if you can sit on your rear end in a nice structure out in the woods? You got your dog there, a nice fluffy dog. You got your TV set for, and you're watching it for free, and you're using your broadband to stream movies to watch all the time. Your girlfriend's there, and you make love once or twice a day. I mean, well, what else do you want out of life? I mean, are you out of your mind that you want to make yourself miserable? You know, you've been so propagandized that you think that you're not a success unless you're being exploited by somebody at a factory or in a big commercial building. I'm telling you right now, you don't need that stuff. You just don't need it. You can live your life, a good life, not having to work for somebody else, as long as you just structure everything in a way that would be in your favor. It's when you decide that you have to make yourself look better than Uncle Jack that you run into trouble, isn't it? Uncle Jack's got a big house worth $350,000, and I want to look as good as Uncle Jack, so I'm going to overbuy a house, and I'm going to pay for it for 40 or 50 years. I'm never going to be clear of it. And then if I just get as much as a cold and can't go to work for a while, I'm going to lose my house. And everything will be as though it went for nothing and I didn't work at all because I overpurchased what I had. I couldn't clock myself so that I would be happy with less. There's this feeling of poverty among all Americans. No matter how much an American makes, he always feels like someone else is making more than him. Yeah, it's true. Everyone always thinks someone else is making more than them. Oh, I got to make more than Uncle Dandy, or the man down the street's got a bigger car and a bigger garage than I have. If I just had something like he's got, I would be happy. No, you're never going to be happy because you're always doing things that you think make someone else happy. And then you decide to adopt that for yourself, and you screw up your life in order to live your life to appeal to someone who doesn't even know that you're alive. They don't even know you're alive, and yet, but you'll look at their house and think, I've got to get a house just like that or bigger. And then you do, and then you're off to the races. The races toward neurotic living. If everybody would just buy a trailer and get an acre or two of land and quit working, the whole society as we know it would collapse. And this would relieve the world of a great deal of pressure. It would ensure that every morsel of meat and bread, every vegetable would be very cheap, because no one would be making any money, so those who had extra ones would sell them for next to nothing. Those who had a trailer for sale wouldn't be able to sell it to a billionaire, so they'd have to sell it to Bob down the street, who's nothing but a Frank Weltner follower who won't work. And since he won't work, he doesn't have any money, so I can only get $2,000 or $3,000 for the trailer and the acre. So that sucker only has to work for a couple of months in order to have a house over his head for the rest of his life. And no bank's ever going to exploit him, because he ain't never going to buy a car that's worth over $300 or $400. I used to know a guy who, he was the head of a Hare Krishna place. I used to eat there because it was cheap. And he would say that, I said, you know, he was talking about his cars. He had one that was starting to screw up, and he was going to take it to the junkyard. I said, well, why don't you get it fixed? He says, no, it costs too much to fix a car. He said, we get them donated to us, so what we do is we drive them until they go bad, and then we take them to the junkyard and have somebody follow us with the other car, and then we go home in that car and ride in it until it starts to break down, and then at the last minute we get it to the junkyard where we can get $75 for the carcass, which we can then spend on, you know, on other things like gasoline. And I thought, now there's an idea. Now there's somebody with some true religious wisdom. Yes, sir, there's somebody with some true religious wisdom from the Hare Krishnas. He said, don't ever. He said, get yourself a car that's cheap, that somebody needs to get rid of, but that works. Drive it until it's about ready to collapse, and before it collapses, get yourself another one. Drive that one to the junkyard, get your $75, and then drive the other one till you know it's about ready to go, and then even though it's still running, take it in. Don't tow it in. If you can drive it in, you get $75. If you tow it in, it's only $35, and the tow costs you $45, so you're screwed. And so I've always tried to work myself that way. My last car, I spent $2,500 for a Camry. I've had it 2 years. I've never had any trouble with it. I keep it oiled up, and knock on wood, it only had 137,000 miles on it. It was like, about 15 years old. Looks gorgeous. It's an executive style with gold lettering on it. It's got a sunroof that's electric. All the windows are electric. It's beautiful. It's just like I spent $20,000 for it, but I only spent $2,500. Because the person that owned it was tired of it. His daughter wanted a new car to go to college, and she didn't want that one from Daddy, so Daddy sold it to me. And I'll never get rid of that car. So as long as it runs, I'll just keep running it. And then if it screws up, then I don't know what I'll do. I guess I'll buy another car. Buy a $500 car. Do the Hare Krishna thing. Drive it till it starts to get all screwed up. And my last car, I spent 20 years. It was like 35 years old when I sold it. It was like a Crown Victoria, but it was, a Ford or Lincoln. I forget what it was. It was some great big clunky thing. I didn't get that bad of mileage out of it. A lot of kids wanted to buy it from me because they like cars that look like that. It had all sorts of chrome and stuff on it. It was a toad as far as I was concerned, but it drove like a Cadillac. It was nice. The Camry drives like a Cadillac, too. So all these people who are working their rear ends off, what are they getting out of it? Nothing. You know, I've been a writer all my life. That's why I have these websites. I've done radio. There's not much money in radio unless you're, you know, Rush Limbaugh, and he makes millions. But most people don't make that. Most people are... They do it because they think it's fun, and it's not very profitable, really. But you do get to influence people. You get to talk if that's what you like to do. Like I'm doing my radio show right now. I'm having a good time. Are you having a good time? Yeah, give yourself a hint. Give yourself a hint. Because you should be enjoying yourself in life. You shouldn't be working yourself silly at some dead-end job. And I consider a job where you make $200,000 a year a dead-end job because you're probably working, I don't know, 12 hours a day. You come home and collapse. You don't even get to watch TV, which is what you really want to do. And we've already discussed that. We've already discussed that. You've been taught that you shouldn't like TV. You shouldn't like it. It's bad for you. TV bad. Library good. Well, I bet you that most of you hadn't been to a library in years. That was the nice thing about the internet, was it's kind of like having a library on your lap. And since most of us like to stay at home, close to our sofa or our reclining chair, having a laptop is perfect, and being on the internet is like having a library at your fingertips. I read a lot of books on my computer. I'll download books and read them for free. I never pay for a book. I never pay for a movie, except that I do Netflix. But I go to my library and order movies there. And I'll watch them. And I'll watch them in Blu-ray, and I get the Blu-rays for free. I only paid $99 for my Blu-ray player. If you want to have fun and you love TV, buy yourself a Blu-ray player when they're half price. I got mine for half price. It was a Sony, and it's a gorgeous machine. And Blu-ray is so much better. You're going to just love it. But don't go chasing after it. Get one cheap. Get a good one. Get a Sony. You know, Sony's a very good machine. Usually lasts a long, long time. Zenith will last a long time. Motorola, there's some machines that'll last a long time. But if you want a really good picture, get yourself a Sony. You can't believe the picture a Blu-ray will give you. But at any rate, like I was saying, what you really want to do in your life is something that you've been told you shouldn't do. And that is, you want to come home and sit on your butt and watch TV and drink a beer or a soda. And eat chips. And don't tell me that you don't like to do that. Or you want to have a girlfriend and make love to her. You probably want to go out and eat, but man, that costs a lot of money, so I don't suggest that you do that, because if you do that, baby, you're going to have to hustle and get yourself a job. You know, better to have yourself a little garden. Have some chickens that lay the eggs for you. Eat the eggs. Every once in a while, kill a chicken and, just make sure you got enough chickens around to lay eggs, and you don't have to do anything, and you can get food stamps from the federal government, and you can just suck on that federal teat like Uncle Frankie here. Of course, I'm retired now, I get Social Security, but, you can get that free usually if you live far enough out in the country where you can't get a job. And they don't expect you to get one because they know there's none available. So plan your life. Plan your life so that you're on vacation every day of your existence. And, you know, give up buying things. Just enjoy yourself and do what you really want, which is what they tell you shouldn't do, but what you want to do. Watch TV on your couch with your girlfriend. You can do it, man. Just plan it that way. I've shown you some ways of doing it, and I'll give you more later because I want to be good to you. And to be really honest with you, what I've been telling you would be good for America, because if you don't work, then America wouldn't get any tax money from you to start a war somewhere else in the Middle East. Which means that millions of people won't be getting killed the next decade because America won't be fighting. And America never got anything out of the fighting anyway. What do we get out of fighting in Iraq? Nothing. Saddam Hussein was willing to sell us gas at any ridiculous low price. You know, George W. Bush has decided he wanted to go in there and kill him and start a big expensive war, so he did. It didn't make any sense, but that's exactly what he did. You have a nice night, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.